You take the yin and the yang and you put them together, they both smile, everybody's happy. You strip them of their innocence, and you give them something pleasurable to do so they can make love to each other, and you make them wonder afterwards what they did it about. So that's the beginning of the process. And what you get out of those four, what you get out of those four is always the magical five, and the magical five is the pattern. This is the pattern, and the pattern is set. So that by the time you get to the fifth step, you've set the pattern. That pattern is, all right, we're going to make more in order to increase the genetic material. And while we're doing that, we're going to try to figure out how everything works. And we're going to go down that long road of doing all of that. The fifth gate is part of the universal channel, the 15-5. It's about being in the flow. It is about something that is universal to all life. It is the patterns and the rhythms of life itself generated. Out of the fifth gate comes this generation of the life pattern. I have a thing. Since I've lived the shaman's life, I'm somebody that has experimented with many, many drugs in my life. And one of the most fascinating things about the nature of the presence of the fifth gate as an establishment of the program is that if you look at the nature of a plant, that's what a plant is looking for. What a plant is always looking for is something to fix its pattern. Somebody of my generation that I was impressed with, Terence McKenna. This is somebody that just died recently. And Terence had this wonderful way of describing how the life process works. And he had his theories about the way in which human beings develop their consciousness. And one of his ideas was that if you came out of a whole bunch of trees and you've been eating fruits and berries and you were hungry, and you walked into the svelte there down there in Central Africa, and all those antelope had been shitting in the morning, and the whole place was covered, and all of a sudden mushrooms jump up. You know, there's always somebody who's going to go over there and take one of those things and put it inside, and it's going to taste what that's like. Now, you know, if you take a homeopathic dose, that's what a gorilla would do. You know, a gorilla would sort of check it out very carefully and wouldn't necessarily even taste it, and then wait and look and finally take a little tiny, tiny piece of this mushroom and put it in its mouth and hold it there and not swallow it. I mean, that's the way gorillas will meet anything that's unusual. Now, of course, if you take that tiny bit and it's homeopathic, the whole thing that's going to happen to you is that it arouses you sexually. That's what psychotropic drugs do. Now, if that's interesting, and obviously it has some interest because it's part of our program, you might want to take more to see if it makes it even more interesting. However, when you take more, you go someplace else. You can end up with a transcendent experience. One of the things to understand about the formula of being human is that the formula of being human is that by setting the pattern, we open ourselves up to the most important mutations from plants. Not from the beasts that we will eat that came late in our lives and became important only late, 49th step. 49th step is when butchery became something very important to the whole of humanity. Again, it has to do with generating heat. But the reality is, up until that 49th step, and still today, there is nothing more important than the vegetation that we take into our system. The vegetation we take in. That were designed from the very beginning to be altered in our rhythm by plants. From the very beginning to be altered in our rhythm by plants. And of course, one of the things to understand at the most mundane level is that our fixation on finding plants as an available diet base for us also led to ultimately us understanding, remember that's our program, understanding how a plant functions. In doing so, you have the beginnings of what we would call agriculture. The ability to guarantee at a certain level that you're going to have enough to eat. So one of the things to understand about us is that right from the very beginning, we had a special relationship, a very special relationship with plants. They were very, very important to us in the development of what it is to be human. And one of the first things that we had to master was how to be able to control natural vegetation so that we could not only be fed, remember, it's more than being fed, so that we can feed mutation. Why do you think they want to produce a panda out of a cow? It's very difficult in the beginning anyway to produce pandas in captivity, but aside from that, you see, the panda bear is something that stands at the edge of extinction. And it stands at the edge of extinction not because its physical body isn't equipped, not because its animal consciousness is not equipped. It's because it only eats one leaf from one type of bamboo plant. Now, if I want to kill off the pandas, you know, I eliminate all that kind of bamboo and the panda's dead. We'll never see them again. Now, one of the things to understand about human beings is that if you look back in our history and you look back at periods that are primitive, look at the diet. You'll see that the diet was deeply limited and primitive. You know, everybody thinks they live in the global village because you have television. But you know, you've got vegetables that come from here and fruit that comes from there and meat that comes from there. You better get meat that comes from there. Whatever it is. You know, it's one of my jokes that if you took the greatest pharaoh that ever lived, you know, you take Ramses and you take him into a bloody supermarket in the average town, you'd go nuts. Nobody ever saw such cornucopia, ever, ever, ever. So it's one of the things to understand about us is that our relationship with the plant world is incredibly profound at every possible level. And the diversity of that that you bring into your body adds to your mutative capacity, and that's part of our pattern. Part of our pattern is we're not mutative enough ourselves. And it's the way in which we can integrate with the rest of the life force that is around us. I have lived as a late 20th, early 21st century man with the hypocrisies that are associated with all kinds of drugs and concepts of this. But it's a great joke for me to look back to the formula and to see right from the very beginning, we had to have the input. Because if we didn't have that input, we wouldn't have that diversity. Think of what it would be like to be in the countryside here and only eat the salad that grows here. It would be very boring. You know, one of the things about being human is you give us diversity and everything speeds up. So in the beginning, what we were looking for, once the pattern was set, we were looking for the full realm of diversity to come to us. To us to be open to all the different rhythms and to be impacted by those different rhythms. To be one with plants. Many years ago in Boulder, Colorado, a thing that Tom and his wife had set up for me. His wife is a herbalist, and I had gone in there to talk to young herbalists about the nature of plants. And I was talking about how you don't have to kill them. You know, they're our best friends. You know, if you just connect to the aura, you can have plants designed to match you and all of those things. We have a deep, 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 deep relationship with the plant world. And we never would have been able to get to where we are without them. That includes the obvious of cutting down the rainforest or whatever those things happen to be, to really understand that the first thing that humanity was bonded to in nature, it was bonded to the plant world. It's an incredible joke. I mean, I deal with so-called people who want to be spiritual all the time. And it's such a joke. I mean, basically, all I need to say to them is what my mother said to me, eat your salad. God's in the food. No joke. Spirituality is in the food. No joke. It is where it is. You see, that's us. You know, and our way of meeting the outside and our way of taking in the world is that we eat it. We eat it. God's in the food. That's why, you know, all of our religious festivals are about eating. They're all about eating. It's in the food. Not only that, but we bless the food so that we can take it in blessed. See, that's the joke. The joke is that all you need to be spiritual is to have a good, solid, varied diet. please tell that to anybody who smells of angels. And then we'll have lunch. Speaking of spirituality, and I hope you have a deeply, deeply satisfying spiritual lunch. Make sure you eat your salad.